We're going to go into our Blue Zone secrets, talking about those that live healthier and live longer. How many of you know number one? Yes, you got it. The message of the three angels. Revelation 14, 6 through 12. The foundation of all that we've been covering in our meetings here is Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Moving on, number two was? Don't smoke. Number three was? Eat more plants and eat less meat. That's what they do. That's what these people do. They live longer and healthier because of that, one of the reasons. Number four was? A simple one. That's right. Oh, actually, no, it wasn't that one. That's the next one. Treat your body like the temple of God. Don't put bad things into your body. Number five was eat more nuts. Nuts are healthy. Those that eat nuts live longer than those that don't eat nuts. It's been scientifically proven. Incredible. And number six, tonight. That's right. Tonight. What's the next secret of these people that live healthier and live longer in Loma Linda, California? That secret is a weekly 24-hour break, a sanctuary in time, a time of rest, a time of recuperation, a time of spiritual fellowship is what they found is one of the key components of these individuals who live an average of 10 years longer than the average American today. Now, I'm not going to go into details about explaining that right now because I'm going to be explaining it in the message for this evening. A sanctuary in time, a 24-hour break. How many of you need a break sometimes? Amen? Yeah. I know I do. We're designed for it. We're going to see that as we go into this message tonight. All right, worship and rest. Before we get into the message proper, I'm going to bow my head and kneel here for a word of prayer. You can remain seated. Dear Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here tonight. We pray that you would touch my lips with a coal from the altar. May your name be glorified and may your words be spoken. Lord, we have nothing to offer but sin-polluted hearts that need to be cleansed and purified by your blood. Allow Christ Jesus alone to be seen tonight and may his word be clear. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Worship and rest. As you know, we're going to be going straight into the three angels' messages tonight. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 14 and continuing on the next step of our progression in understanding this very powerful end time truth. The Bible says, fear God and do what? Fear God and do what? Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. We see that God here in this last end time message is saying we ought to worship him. Worship is a key foundational point of the end time truth that we're speaking of. God says you should worship me. But is there someone else that also says he wants our worship? Yes, there is. In fact, in the third angel's message, we're going to skip there to see that God is not the only one vying for our worship in the last days. Look what it says here. Revelation 14, verse 9 through 11. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone does what? Worships who? The beast. Now, you don't know who that is yet. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow night and the night after. But whoever worships the beast, and we know this person or this being or this power is with Satan. Whoever worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And it goes on to say, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and they have what? No rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. This is very powerful end time truth. We see a very clear distinction. On one hand, God says, worship me. On the other hand, we see the end time beast of Revelation saying, no, worship me. And the choice will be ours who we ought to worship. But we see a key thing here with those who worship the beast. They have no what? Rest. They have no rest. They have not experienced the rest that God desires to give to them, a key into what this worship is all about. They're not receiving rest. How many of you oftentimes get busy? Anyone here get busy? Working and school and household chores and family outings and gatherings and all these things we're doing. How many of you oftentimes feel like you're too busy? Anyone here? I know I oftentimes too. I feel like I'm too busy sometimes. I found a good acronym for the word busy. Burdened under Satan's yoke. Oftentimes when we're busy, we are not doing what God wants. We're burdened under Satan. And it can be good things too. But if those things distract us from God and His Word, from fellowshipping together with the brethren, these things are not what God wants for us. They are what the enemy wants for us. God wants to give us rest. He doesn't want us to be too busy. In fact, He's given us a whole day to worship Him. The Bible says, Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God desires to give His people rest. Amen? But those that worship the beast receive not of this rest. So what is this all about? What is this worship and rest all truly about? Let's go back here to Revelation 14 and see what the Bible says. Revelation 14, verse 7, once again. I want to see if you can identify here, as we read this verse, identify the reason why we ought to worship God. What is God saying is the reason we ought to worship Him? Starting from there, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water." What's the reason? What's the motivation, or what's the reason that God is giving us that we ought to worship Him? Yes, I'm hearing. I'm hearing several things. Oh, some people are saying because of judgment, but it's saying here, worship Him who made. We worship God because He has made or created all things. Amen? I mean, the person that put it all together, he deserves our worship, the Bible says. So let me ask you a question about the beginning. We're going to see about this whole worship thing and this rest thing if we go back to the beginning. How was the world in the beginning? It was without form and void. And how many days did it take God to create the world? That's right, 6 days. 6 days. So what did He create first? What happened on the first day? God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light, and there was light. God spoke that thing into existence. What about the second day? What happened on the second day? First day was light. Yes, the firmament, exactly right. He divided the waters. He made a space. He divided the waters from the waters, and the space in between was the sky. He gave us the waters. No, day two, divided the waters. What about on day three? By the way, before we go to day three, what does the Bible say about the creation? The evening and the what? The morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. He goes on and on and on. The evening and the morning. Keep that in mind. But what about the third day? What happened on the third day? Ah, that's exactly right. The dry ground or dry land appeared. And what happens on dry ground? Things grow. And God allowed all the things, plants and such, land and plants to grow on the third day. How about the fourth day? I'm quizzing you guys right now. What happened on the fourth day of creation? Yes, someone's looking. I think the sun, moon, and stars. Exactly right. The sun, moon, and stars were on the fourth day. What about the fifth day? Yes, the birds and the fish were created on the fifth day. The land, and then on the sixth day, the beasts of the fields, all the other animals that dwell upon the earth. And what else was created on the sixth day? That's right. Womankind, God made the beings. He kneeled down, got dirty, and formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Powerful stuff. And what happened on the seventh day? Exactly right. He rested. The Lord rested on the seventh day, the Bible says. He rested himself from all the work which he had done, which he did. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3, thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. God finished creating all things in 7 or 6 literal days. None of this evolution stuff. God made these things with the breath of his mouth. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and did what? Sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So the seventh day was a special day, a day when God himself came aside and rested and spent time with his created beings. You see, God is a God that wants to spend time with us. Amen? Yes. He loves you. And part of love is wanting to spend time with those that he cares and loves. That's a big part of being in love with someone. I remember when I fell in love with my wife, all I wanted to do was be around her, be with her. And it's still the same. Amen, honey? Being with someone is important, and God wants to be with us as his children because he loves us and he wants us to love him. The Sabbath was a day for that special communion with God. It was a memorial of creation. And we see that God did three things with the Sabbath. Number one, he rested. Number two, he blessed it. And number three, he sanctified that day. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? Exactly. I heard someone say it. It's set apart for a holy purpose. That's what sanctification means. God wants to sanctify us as well, set us apart for a holy purpose. So he sanctified and made holy the Sabbath day. Rested, blessed it, and sanctified it. Powerful stuff. So I have a question for you then. Did God want us to remember the Sabbath? Or did he want us to forget it? He said remember, right? He didn't want us to forget this thing. It's powerful. Look what the Bible says, Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment, verse 8 through verse 11. It says there, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. So as God says, remember, he says, remember what I did. Remember the creation. Remember that you should, I rested on that day, and therefore you also should rest. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God said, I want you to remember this day. Don't get too busy in your life to forget what I have done. Put a day aside from work, a day aside from labor, a day aside from all secular involvements. Spend a day with me, amen? That's what God is asking. Powerful stuff. All right. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation, God's creative power and making us in his image. Now, is the Sabbath only a memorial of creation? It's actually also a memorial of something else. I'm going to share with you very soon. Now, let me ask you a question before I go there. Does anyone know that the Ten Commandments were actually read or written twice in the Old Testament? Exodus chapter 20, we just read. Where else? Ah, exactly right. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to look at the reference to the Sabbath commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's look what it says. Deuteronomy 5, looking at verse 12 and verse 15. It says there, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Why? And remember that you were a what? A slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So it's saying there's two things here. One was creation we saw in Exodus 20. Now we see we also keep the Sabbath because God has delivered us from what? Slavery. How many of you are in slavery? I hope none of us. But what kind of slavery is this world in? Sin. The slavery of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. God is saying, if you're in sin, you are in bondage. If you're in sin, you are in slavery. But I want to give you victory and freedom from the slavery that you're in. And because of what I'm going to do in saving you from your slavery, saving you from your sin, as a memorial for that, I want you to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation and of redemption. God's saving power, his ability to give us life from death, to redeem our souls from the grave. That's what part of what the Sabbath is all about. And we see this even in his crucifixion and death. When did Jesus die for our sins? What day was it? It was a Friday, the preparation day, according to the scriptures. The preparation day, which is our Friday. Friday, according to Mark chapter 15, verse 42. What day did he rise from the grave? On the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Many people call it Easter Sunday. He rose from the grave. Christ died for our sins on the preparation day. Just before the sun went down, he breathed his last. He was put into the tomb. And he rested on which day? He rested on the seventh day, just like the Bible says. He finished his work, not of creation, but his work of redemption. And as a symbol to resting in the work, from the work that he had done in redeeming us, he rested in the grave on the Sabbath day and rose again on the first day. Amen? The Sabbath is a memorial of the creation and the redemption. We see preparation day was Friday. On Sabbath, he was in the tomb. And on Sunday, he rose from the grave. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation and a memorial of what else? It's a very powerful thing. A time for us to reflect on the work that we don't have to do. The work that God has already done on our behalf. Amen? Rest in him. Rest in his power. Rest in his salvation. Rest in the fact that he's remaking you into his image. Amen? Powerful stuff. The Sabbath is such a blessing. And that's why God commanded us to worship him according to the commandment. Unfortunately today, many, many people have forgotten God's commandments. Specifically, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. And it's very unfortunate because there's a blessing in this command. Was the Sabbath made for the Jews? In the beginning, who was there? God, Adam and Eve. It was made for man. It was made for mankind. The Bible says in Mark 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for? Was made for man. Not just for one particular group of people, but it was made for all of us to be a blessing for us, to remember, to lead our minds to Jesus and what he has done for us. Which day, therefore, is the Sabbath? The big question, which day is the Sabbath? It's a good question. Which day is the Sabbath? I'm hearing some conflicting ideas here. Whenever there's conflicting ideas, what's the best thing to do? Go to the Word of God. Amen? Yep. What does God's Word say the Sabbath day is? Which day is the Sabbath? Well, we know from the... We already read this. We already saw it in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 2. And God blessed which day? The seventh day and sanctified it. So we know that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. Exactly right. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Well, let's get a little bit more clarity on this. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to go to verse 54. Luke 23, verse 54. And we're going to try and identify and see if we can understand which day the Sabbath is, the seventh day of the week. On page 1218, when you get there, go ahead and say, I'm there. No one's there yet. I'm going to wait a little bit more. Luke chapter 23, verse 54, page 1218, if you're in this Bible here. 1218. All right, we're getting there. Wonderful, thank you. It says there, Luke chapter 23, verse 53. 23, verse 54, excuse me. Speaking of the crucifixion, it says, that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew us near. So he died on the preparation day. If you look at the context, he died on that day, just before the Sabbath. And it says, continuing on, and the woman who came with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. So after Christ was crucified, they went with him to the tomb to see if they could prepare his body and to see where he was laid. Look at the next verse, 56. It says, and they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they did what? Rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment on the seventh day. Now we know from tradition and from history that Christ was crucified on a Friday, preparation day. The next day was the Sabbath. And then in verse 1 of chapter 24, what does it say? Now on the first day of the week, which day was that? Which day of the week? Sunday. Everyone, Resurrection Sunday. We know this from history. We understand this, that Christ rose on Sunday. So which day is the Sabbath? Saturday. Now, listen to this. There is much confusion on this topic. And if you're wondering, what? How is that? How could that be? Oh, we're going to be sharing with you as we continue on night by night how this thing was changed. But indeed, the Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Now, most people say, oh, no, isn't the Sabbath on Sunday? Well, according to God's word, we see it's on the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. Now, if you look up in the dictionary, now, I don't trust dictionaries that much. I don't put much credence in man-written dictionaries. But if you look up in a dictionary and say dictionary.com, you look up the word Saturday, what will it tell you? Well, it may tell you the day between the day after Friday and the day before Sunday. But it also will tell you it's the seventh day of the week. If you look up in your dictionary.com and you say, which day is Sunday? What will it say? The first day of the week. It's very clear. The seventh day is Saturday. The first day is Sunday. This is true in the Bible. This is true in astronomy. It's true in language and even in history. How many of you speak another language than English? Anyone here? Awesome. In many languages, in over 105 languages, the word for seventh day of the week is Sabbath. Like, say, Spanish. Sábado, right? That actually means Saturday. It's Sabbath as well. It's like one and the same. And God said that is the day of worship and of rest. He's given it to us for our good. Amen? Okay, so let me ask you this next question. We're tracking along here. When are we supposed to celebrate the Sabbath? Saturday, that's right. But when specifically? It's like midnight to midnight. When is it? I'm hearing it. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, we see in Genesis from the evening and the morning were the first day. So when did the day begin? In the evening. So we get that. Look what it says here. In Leviticus 23, in verse 32, it says, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So from evening to evening, the day begins, according to the Bible, in the evening. Now, in our normal modern-day society, we think of, day beginning at the midnight or whatever. But in God's mind, evening and morning were the first day. The day begins in the evening. So when is the evening exactly according to God's word? Exactly. When is evening? The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 32, at evening when the sun had set. At evening when the sun had set. So from evening to evening, that's why when Christ had died, if you look at the scriptures there, you'll see that he was on the cross till the ninth hour on Friday. What's the ninth hour? 3 o'clock. Exactly. It's 3 o'clock. So he died right around that time, sometime right after the third hour, around 3 o'clock. And they took him and buried him. The woman went with him that evening. And then as the sun was going down, they said, oh, the Sabbath is coming. They went home, prepared spices, and rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So the Sabbath begins on Friday evening when the sun sets, and it ends on Saturday evening when the sun goes down. So right now, guess what? It's the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath right now. Happy Sabbath, amen? That's when God has commanded us to remember the Sabbath specifically, to spend that time with him. This is not my word, amen? This is what God's word says, amen? We want to follow what God's word says, not what I say. What difference does a day make? Does it really make that much of a difference? People say, well, one day is here, one day is there. It doesn't really matter. I ask you the question, did one piece of fruit make a difference? It did. Out of all the fruits that God gave Adam and Eve, one fruit made a big difference. It was an issue of loyalty. Where is our loyalty going to be? Is it going to be to God and trusting what he says? Even though it may not make full sense in our minds, will we trust God and what he says? A day makes a big difference. I remember there's a lady who was keeping the Sabbath. She was convicted about the seventh-day Sabbath Saturday. She went to an interview, and it was at a bank. And she was at the interview sitting down with them, and she told them, I cannot work on Saturday. I believe in the Bible, and I believe that God has told us that we should keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy. So I will not work on Saturday. Is that okay? And they said, you know what? That's fine. That's your religious belief. No problem. Well, you have the job. Great. She starts working. She goes to work. She enjoys work, having a great time. And then one day, she gets a phone call. Oh, you know, we're really short-staffed this coming Saturday. Would you be willing to work? She said, oh, you know, I really don't want to do that. It's the Sabbath. The Bible talks about this. I'm a Christian. I believe what the Bible says, and I don't want to do it. But he said, oh, we really need someone. We really need someone. He says, okay, I'll come. And she goes. She goes to work that Saturday. She works all day, goes home. She kind of feels like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that probably. And she comes back to work on Monday and finds that she has been fired. Why? The bank owner told her, we need people at our bank who have integrity. If you work with lots of money, we need loyalty and integrity. And if you cannot be loyal and have integrity with your religion, how can we trust you to have loyalty in your job and working at this bank? See, the Sabbath, a day does make a difference. It shows where our loyalty is. We trust God when the majority do not. That's the question that God is asking us. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation and a memorial of redemption. God wants us to remember him and what he's done. He's given us a day set aside to do just that, to fellowship and to remember what he has done. The Sabbath is also a sign between God and his people. Look at this verse here in Ezekiel chapter 20 in verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who does what? See, God not only sanctify the Sabbath and set it apart, he wants to also set apart and make holy individuals. Amen? He wants to make you and I like himself. He wants to make us holy for his purpose. And so the Sabbath is a sign between the people of that God is sanctifying and himself. Amen? He said, come to me and rest on this specific day, a sign between me and you that you are mine and that I am changing your character. Amen? Love it. We're going to see how important this is very later on. Very, very important. How about Christ? Did Christ come and did he actually say the Sabbath was good or did he do away with it? What did Jesus do? People often argue, well, Jesus changed the Sabbath. Is that true? The Bible says, do not think that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ said, I came to live this thing out. I didn't come to destroy anything of the law and the prophets. He, in fact, kept the Sabbath himself. Look what the Bible says. Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his was? Custom. His custom. What's a custom? Something you do all the time, right? Something you do repeatedly. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on which day? The Sabbath day, Saturday, and stood up for to read. That was Christ's custom. And if you want to be a follower of Christ, you ought to follow what Christ did. Amen? Amen. And he was a Sabbath keeper. Yes. How about after Jesus died and resurrected? Many will say, oh, well, Christ rose on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Therefore, we should now keep Sunday holy. Is that what the Bible says? Not a word in Scripture that talks about that. We actually see that his followers also did what he wanted them to do. He says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And his followers did just that. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 14. It says, when they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And verse 30, 42 and 44 says, the Gentiles begged that these words spoken by the disciples might be preached to them the next what? The next Sabbath. Even the Gentiles were asking, come, preach these words to us on the Sabbath after Christ had died and resurrected. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. We see Acts 17, Paul. Then Paul, as his what? Custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. So even after Christ died and resurrected from the grave, his disciples were not keeping any other day but the seventh day Sabbath holy, Saturday. What about today? Is God still expecting his people to honor him in loyalty and worship and keeping his commandments? Is that still going to happen today? Yes. I believe it's true. We already read this verse, but it's very powerful. Revelation 14, verse 12 says this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that remain. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of God. In the end time book of Revelation, we see God's last day people keeping his commandments by faith. Amen? Amen? The faith of Jesus. Doing his will, following his plan, following him out of love. That's what God is desiring for us, even to the very end of time. What about in heaven? Are we going to keep the Sabbath in heaven? Yes. We're going to see that yes, it's true. It's indeed true. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah, the new heaven and the new earth. Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. It says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. From one new moon to another, and from one what? Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. We see that even in heaven, we'll have the Sabbath day. Amen? Yes. A time to come, especially come and rest in Christ. Remember what he has done in creation and redemption. That's what the Sabbath is all about. A time to remember, a time to rest, a time to come apart and spend time with Jesus. You can search the word from beginning to end, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and you'll see that God's special Sabbath day has always been there from the very beginning all the way to the end. All through the Old Testament, they were keeping the Sabbath. And then when Christ came, he showed us the way in keeping the Sabbath. His disciples after him also kept the Sabbath, and God's end time people will be commandment keeping Sabbath keepers. Amen? This is a real truth. And God is asking us to be loyal and obedient. Amen? Amen? To put aside all work. To put aside all even secular recreation. And to focus our attention on God and on his word. Amen? To fellowship with other like-minded believers and to partake in this great blessing of the Sabbath. Amen? Such a powerful and precious gift that God has given us. You may be asking in your mind, well, why, if Saturday is the Sabbath, why is it that so many Christians, sincere Christians, are not attending church on Sabbath? Or not keeping the Sabbath day holy? Or are going to church on Sunday? Why is that? Well, you're going to have to come back to hear that one. Don't have time tonight to break the history down, but we're going to break that down night by night, starting on tomorrow night. So you don't want to miss that and the next many messages. But God has given us a special day. And it says here in Revelation or in Isaiah, what will the blessing be when we do what God asks us to do? Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14 says this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own wants, your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable and shall honor him. Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And he will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God is saying, when you take your foot away from my holy Sabbath day, when you take it away from just doing your normal everyday thing and your work and your house chores and your shopping, when you put aside those things and say, God, I want to dedicate this time to spending it with you, understanding what you've done for me, a special blessing will come into our lives. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I've experienced the blessing. I've not always been a Sabbath keeper. But when I fully ingrained this truth into my life, I can tell you the blessings are immeasurable. The rest and the peace and the joy in spending time with Christ, especially on this special day. We ought to spend time with Christ every day, amen? Yes. But the Sabbath is a day to not work and spend time specifically with Jesus. Christ himself has given you a holiday, amen? Yes. And I don't know about you, I want to take that holiday every time, yes. Every single week. I want that holiday that God has given to us. Those that live healthier and live longer have this rest day. In this National Geographic's article, it was talking about the Sabbath, a special secret. It says, look at what they do on Saturday. They stop everything. They focus on their God. They cut out the stress of what they need to do. They go to luncheons with really good friends, and they go off on a nature walk. The payoff is 9 extra years of life for Adventist female and nearly 11 extra years for Adventist male. Can you believe that? Why? Why? Because God said, if you follow my word, you'll have long days. Amen? And it bears itself out. This is not anyone from the church speaking. This is National Geographic's demonstrating and documenting these very findings. God is saying he wants to spend time with you. Will you choose to spend time with him? That's the question. At this time, I want to have a card handed out to each one of us. I have people that have cards. And I'm going to tell you a story as these cards are handed out. Don't put anything on it quite yet. I'm going to tell you when to use it. We want to make a decision for the Lord. It's not important only to hear the word of God. It's important to make decisions on following what God's word says, putting his word into action. There was a man who was on the island of Guam, and he heard a message similar to this one about the seventh day Sabbath. And as he heard that message, he was wondering, what do I do? I own this business, this company, and we do recreation on the beach for all the tourists on the weekends, all this motorized sports and things. And he's like, I know that I need to keep the seventh day Sabbath holy, but what about my business? It's going to go under. But he knew what God's word said. And he said, you know what? God's word says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be. I'm going to close shop. He had about 100 employees. You all get the Sabbath off. Saturday off. We're not going to come to work. They're like, are you crazy? It's the busiest day of the week. Nope, you get it off. He was worried about losing all of his finances. He was in debt, lots of debt. But he said, I'm going to follow God's word. He followed God's word. Saturday came, he's closed, everyone else is open, and guess what happened? Torrential rain poured on Guam that Sabbath day. And everyone had their equipment out, ready to go. It all got damaged. It was terrible. But he was praising God. Oh, God, thank you so much. The next day, he was ready to go on Sunday, and all of his competitors were not ready to go. He got all the business. And that's amazing. But that didn't happen just 1 week, or 2 weeks, or three. It happened for 6 weeks in a row. And he was like, you know what? God will take care of me. It didn't happen for the rest of the time. Of course, there was nice days as well, but he knew that God would take care of him. Amen? When we follow God's word, he has promised to take care of us. And 2 years later, he said, I had paid off almost all my debt. God has blessed my business because I have chosen to follow after what God's word has said and be faithful to him. When you're faithful to God, God is faithful to you. Amen? Amen. So I want you to make a decision tonight. We have a little card here. And it has a few decisions that we want to make. It's kind of summarizing what we've covered in the last few nights. The first one is, I want to fear God and keep his commandments. And remember, fearing God is not being afraid of him, but it's a fear of hurting him. If that's you, just mark that one right there. The next one is, I want to give glory to God in what I eat and what I drink and in all that I do. I want to give glory to God. If that's you, just mark that one there. The next one is, I want to worship God and keep his holy Sabbath day as he is instructed. I want to keep the Sabbath holy. That's you. You've heard the message tonight, and maybe you don't even know how to do it, but you want to do it. You want to learn more about it. You want to keep God's Sabbath. That's you. Mark that one right there. And then the last one. It says, I would like to be baptized or rebaptized. I would like to dedicate my life to Christ, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and come up in newness of life, to live the changed and transformed life that Christ would like me to live. I'd like to be baptized or rebaptized. Maybe you've gone away. Maybe you didn't know what you were getting into when you first were baptized. You want to be rebaptized. Mark that one there. Put your name on that there. It's very important that we make decisions for Jesus. He's calling, especially in these last days that we're living in, for his people to make decisions to be loyal to him, and loyal not to a person, not to a specific church, but loyal to his word. Amen? That's what God's calling for today. So I encourage you, fill out that card, and we're going to have some individuals pick them up right now as well, if you would. Hand them to the middle. You can fold them if you'd like. Put your name on that thing. Fold it together and hand it in to one of the young ladies as they go around. God wants you to make a decision for him, a choice for him, to serve him and to love him and to do what he's asking us to do. I tell you, there's never a better time than right now to make a choice for Jesus. Life is so much better when your life is built in him, when your life is given to him, when it's dedicated to him and following what he has given to you. He allows life to have peace and joy and rest. In these last days, God's calling for us to come to him. And we're asking us to do that. How many of you love Christ? Amen? How many of you want to do his will? Amen?